Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed the poor and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we're Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now, do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escort them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left.
Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
In 2017, I was on a bus in Catford, where I used to live. On my way back from work, my uniform was a black tracksuit with a black hoodie. My bag was heavy with my work laptop, notes from a mentoring session with young people I'd just been working with. Books that I carried for no other reason than they were just heavy. And the general rubbish at the bottom of my bag that just stayed there because I had no reason other to tip it out onto the floor in my house. I was sitting down, but a small child needed a seat more than me, so I stood up in the aisle, holding onto the yellow handrail, desperate not to fall over as the bus jerked in the traffic. The bus had the familiar comfort, packed with school kids, older people, young people, parents, carers, buggies, shopping bags, and those square shopping trolleys that help you stand up when walking is hard. The people looked like all shades of human existence, and there was noise coming from everywhere, music from phones and headphones, conversations, car sound systems, beeps and chatter. But one conversation pierced all that noise, and somehow, despite the environment, I heard every word. Two older white ladies sitting down in the two front seats just by the wheelchair and buggy area on the bus have somehow started talking about politics. Oh boy. Only one thing was a standard conversation back then: Brexit. And the words I heard loud and clear above all else were, "They will all go home now." It was like a dagger to my heart, another moment of othering, and a moment that changed my understanding of my identity. The familiar pang of being othered, like the time I visited my wife's parents' church in Rochdale. Over tea at the back of the church service, I spent a very long time explaining I was from London, the lady unable to hear my answer because she was not expecting that. All the time recently, a few weeks ago, in fact, where an older, excited man asked me what tribe I was from. As a Londoner, as a South East Londoner, as a boy born in Lewisham, as a boy born in Deptford, no doubt, who eats pie and mash, two pie, two liquor, I am offended by those comments. It sucks me out of who I am, my identity as an Englishman, not born in Wales or Scotland. Born in England, in Greenwich Hospital, no doubt, before they closed it down after me, of course. I am proud of that identity, but in my family, my older brother, not born in this country, says to me, "Chris, you cannot be English. You're British, if anything." I say to him, "No, you're not born from here. I'm English." But that conversation on that bus changed that thought for me. These experiences, though challenging, mean when I read this chapter in Acts 16, I get maybe something you didn't. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. I pick up something from my own experience in Paul and Silas's journey. In Bible college, they call it hermeneutics. This lens that we read things through. It's a long word. I never understood it, but I do know that when I read something, sometimes I see something other people don't, because I'm different, but I'm not. Paul and Silas are doing what Paul is called to do, preaching the good news to the Gentiles. He's in a place where there are so few Jews, they haven't built a permanent place of worship. He goes down to a place of prayer, which would have potentially been a tree or a river outside the city. to pray with people like him. But somehow, in all of that, he manages to get himself in trouble. And when he is brought to be judged by the magistrate, what do they call him? Maybe another time I'll talk about this dense passage about the slave woman and power and those who enslave her, demons and man. Maybe another time I'll talk about the guard and the fact that Paul ends up eating in his house, sharing fellowship and baptizing his whole family. Maybe another time we'll talk about God's providence and power, where the gates of the prison are broken open and chains fall off. But this time I'm going to talk about something that speaks to me of that othering that Paul and Silas felt, their ethnicity used as a gesture to put them in prison. It was something they, I assume, when saying these are Jews, meant they were trouble. They were othered. And that othering meant that they were led to being beaten, put in stocks, arrested, and imprisoned. But when they are released, hear what they are called. It is there that citizenship as Romans causes them to be treated with respect and inclusion in civil society. But Paul and Silas hadn't changed a bit. They were still themselves. Paul and Simon were, as I'm going to call it, Romanish. There's a famous, to some of us, sitcom called Blackish in America, and a book by an author called Afro Hirsch called British, talking of the kind of identity, that in between, where you are definitely holding a passport, but not really supposed to be here. Paul and Silas's citizenship cannot be removed, but it is conditional. In John 15:19, we see this idea that as Christians we are from this world, but not of it. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Paul and Silas inhabit these two spaces. When the world is unjust, they fight it. They are not of the world. They are in this moment their Jewish identity, which they cannot get rid of. They keep that identity in that place where they're meant to be other. And when they need to call that same world into account for its injustice, they use their citizenship in this place to command the justice deserved by you and others. In the Beatitudes, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the justice, they will be filled." Sorry, let me say that again. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be filled." That was the gospel passage we had. Now for our part in this. Each of us must work out what it means in this place that we inhabit to seek justice, and what it means to be in this place but not of it. As Christians, we are called out of ownership in an unjust world into the promise of the just world, which is God's. So I finish by saying, take a moment now before we enter our prayers, where Laurie will lead us, and think about all the places where you are and what God is calling you to do to make those places just.